treat your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We have such a great program. We are joined by Reverend Flip Benham, Pastor David Langford, and now Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. Their website's all linked off of HagmanandHagman.com in the show description for tonight. It's a little cumbersome to have this many, but it's important. I do want to specifically thank Global Star Radio Network. What they're doing tonight, what Todd is doing tonight, is an extremely tedious job, and I just want to say thank you to our network, Global Star Radio Network. Thank you, Todd, for your hard work, for your patience, for your endurance. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Our thanks go out to you tremendously. And before I turn over to you, Joe, I just want to mention this. Ladies and gentlemen, just as I believe in my heart of hearts, this is not to slight anyone or disparage anyone at all, Pastor David Langford appears on our program regularly. Reverend Flip Benham does as well. We often refer to Pastor David Langford as our pastor. Now, I say that only because I want to say this. We refer to Coach Dave Dobenmeyer as our coach, as America's coach. But together we've got three dynamic individuals here, and I want to just point everyone to Coach Dave Dobenmeyer's website, ptsalt.com. The Salt and Light Brigade as well. What he has done.
Before you do that, yes. Just want to let you know, during the break, the Southern Poverty Law Center called and stated if we have Coach Dave on, our show won't be on the air starting tomorrow.
Okay, well, that's a badge of honor. You know, we are constantly getting threats from various hate watch groups, and we're called haters and such, and that's a badge of honor.
Yes, it is.
And I've got to say this: the more people that hate us, the more we are fighting back. But the fact is, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer expended some shoe leather. You know,
put a dent.
Look, as a detective, you don't get things done until you expend the shoe leather. You can sit behind a computer all day long and analyze data and do this and that, but it's not until you hit the pavement and go out there and to do the investigation. That's where you get the results. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, I'm going to tell you something. I am so proud to know you, and I'm so proud that you went out to Target, and I'm so proud that you made it, that your efforts were showcased on Breitbart, and I'm so proud that we were able to talk about what you did last night, yesterday, and today. And finally, I am proud that we have you on our show tonight, just as I'm proud that we have Pastor David Langford and Reverend Flip Benham on. So, Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to shut up now.
All right.
Except to say this, we're not done yet. So those people who want to shut us down, go for it, because we aren't done yet. We have a job to do. Everyone has a job to do, and I'm fired up for that job. Okay, No, I'm done. Go ahead.
No, what a terrific panel. What a great show John has put on for us. This hour, Pastor Flip Benham, Pastor David Langford, Coach Dave Dobmeier, all together in one show, 1 hour. And we are going to kick it off right now. I'm going to turn it over to Coach Dave. Coach, you've been making some noise, making some
change. Tell me... early on in my ministry that you know you're having an impact when the pigs start squealing. And we got them squealing. I want to stop right here, though, and I want to tip my hat because I would not be doing what I do were not for the mentorship of Flip Benham. I love Flip Benham like a brother. You know, we hear so much about homosexuality and all that kind of stuff. David loved Jonathan. And there's a bond, something that occurs when a man pours out his life into another man. And Flip did that for me for about 10 years. And I know that Flip's heart would be that whatever he poured into me would, as he likes to say, would propel me over the top of his body as he lays on the barbed wire, that he would propel me into greater things. And I just thank God for Pastor Langford. I love Pastor Langford, and I don't want to turn this into a love fest, brothers, but there's something about a love of the brotherhood and a love that one brother has for another that is just, it's hard to define. And so, you know, yeah, we've been pounding knots on the devil's head here in the Ohio area. I got a vision, about this whole Target thing. It broke loose just a couple weeks ago. You know, they mentioned the fact that, they were opening their bathrooms to transgenders. You know, for some reason, they think that's a good idea. For the life of me, for a family department store to think that's a good idea, I just can't figure it out. And I stewed on it for a while, and then finally I showed up at Target, and I took a little camera with me, and I walked in, and I just went right to the horse's mouth, Matthew 18. So I read all this stuff on the Internet. I just want to know, what is your policy? And the manager, sweet little girl, about 26 years old, don't send a girl to do a man's job, fellas. That's part of it. She just looked me right dead in the eye and said, oh, yeah, a man can walk into a woman's restroom here. I said, what are the requirements? Well, all you have to do is say today you feel like you're a man. I got it on tape, fellas. I've got this on tape. I said, you mean to tell me that I could right now go over and walk right into that bathroom over that woman's restroom? She says, yes, if you believe you're a woman. So I went home. I posted the video, which, by the way, went viral. We did make the Breitbart homepage with it, but it became more than I even thought it would become. Went back the next day. I learned all this from Flip. Went back the next day, took my 29-year-old daughter, walked her into the bathroom, and then stood outside the door of the bathroom at Target. You walk right in Target, the bathroom's right there. So it's not like I had to go back in the back or back in some corner. The front door is there, the restroom, as soon as you walk in the door. I stood right between the entrance of the door and the restroom and held my sign. My sign said simply, caution, men are welcome. No, men may be in women's restrooms. I stood there for about 5 minutes. Some little girl came up. One of the managers tried to move me out. This is all on video. People have probably seen it anyway. And, you know, I just got it all on film. Cops came. I've never seen anything like it, Flip. I know that you've confronted the cops more than I have. I've never seen cops so humble. Target did not want to enforce their policy. They couldn't explain their policy. The police officers couldn't look me in the eye because they couldn't explain the policy. They could not explain why a woman could go into a restroom and have some expectation of a modicum of privacy, and that any man within the city of Heath, Ohio, could walk in that restroom and nobody would stop him. Well, it's begun to go viral. In fact, tonight we went over, had another event out there. We got some Christians out on the street holding some signs, raising up a standard against them. And I'm just excited to play a part of this. We're going to turn this into a national movement. We're going to win this battle. Because, guys, listen. This battle's not about transgender restrooms. It's not about homosexuals. It's not about any of that stuff. It's the enemy of our soul trying to destroy everything godly, trying to destroy every anchor, every rock, every precept of righteousness in this nation. They started it. See, they did it backwards. They started at the top. They went for marriage first. And after they pushed over marriage, well, bathrooms, there's nothing. Nothing to get bathrooms. And that's where they're moving right now. And they're smart enough to understand that Christians aren't going to do anything. The cops know Christians aren't going to do anything. Oh, we're going to boycott Target. We're going to sign petitions. We're going to do that same usual malarkey that we always do. But they know that they're not going to have any pushback for us. So I said, this is it, man. I am, hey, fellas, I got a wife and two daughters and two granddaughters. And I'll be daggone if I'm going to sit back as a godly man and cower in fear that someone's going to say something mean about me or somebody's going to write something bad about me in the news, which they are. I'm going to go defend, as a Christian man would do, the honor of my wife and my daughters, to walk into a restroom without fear of some man walking in behind them. So we're launching, we're pushing back against this darkness. Guys, listen to me. Please understand this. We cannot win if we don't show up.
Amen.
It's easy to boycott. It's easy to sign a petition. But it's something dynamic. Flip could amen this. There's something dynamic that happens when a man of God shows up on the street in front of evil and says, no, no more, not any farther. And I believe that that's what we're going to ignite all around this nation. And I will tell you this, that if we don't, this isn't just about Target tonight, my friends. This is about men, godly men in general, and rising up to be the men of God that Christ has called us to be. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And if that scripture is true, and we all believe that it is, can somebody explain to me why the devil is running roughshod over the body of Christ? Can somebody explain that to me? I can tell you why. I saw yesterday when those police officers came out, I understood immediately what was going on. They knew that if they just were nice enough to me and got me to leave and go home, that Christians are going to go back and turn on Jan and Paul Crouch and watch Christian TV and let the world go to hell waiting on the rapture. And so they know that if they can just run off the clock on a flip. It reminds me of when we were down with Judge Rory Moore back in 2004, I think it was. I will never forget one of those guards. I asked one of those guards what they were going to do. I was new to the battle. And he said, we'll just wait them out a few days here, and then they'll get tired and they'll go home. And Flip, that's exactly what happened. And so they know that that's going to happen to us. And the homosexual mafia is unrelenting. They never stop. Now, I've had the opportunity to be on the Hagman and Hagman Report several times, and I always consider it an honor to come on with you guys. And I listen to you tonight.
Such an honor. Yeah.
I'm going to pat you on the back, brother, because I saw fire from you again last night. I've seen fire from you, Doug. I got to be honest with you. I didn't see in you 6 months ago, a year ago. I'm starting to see that the Lord is getting a hold of your heart, brother, to understand the bigger picture of exactly what's going on.
Amen.
Those of us, Flip Benham taught me this, that Christ called us to die. Flip came up with a line that I use all the time, and they think I'm a wise guy because I use it, but Flip taught it to me. Everybody wants to follow Jesus till they find out where he's gone. He's gone to a cross. And he's asking us to pick up ours and follow him. Amen, Flip.
Brother, amen, brother.
And we are in a society and in a culture where godly men in particular will not answer the call. And Pastor Langford and Pastor Billy, who was on earlier, are exactly right. They will not answer the call because the men standing in the pulpit not only don't call them to the battle, but stand in the gap and prevent them from going to the battle. And as a result, men are leaving church. Their families are dropping out. We want to know why we go down to Dallas, and there are 750, 800, however men were there, and that altar call that Flip Benham gave, and those men came forward. I saw the most dynamic thing after you did that altar call, and the men came forward, and you prayed with those men. When you got done praying with those men, you said, will the wives come forward? And Flip, I stood up on that stage from a distance, and I watched as those women came up, and they went to their husbands, and they wrapped their arms around their husbands, and they snuggled right under their arm, like you would snuggle under a wing. And the Lord showed me how much women want their men to be men. But we're not hearing it in the church. We're into capitulation and compromise and worried about public opinion and what this person might say and looking like a Christian and acting like a Christian and not being harsh and not turning people off from the gospel. And all this time that we're trying to be nicer than Jesus, the enemy is eating our stinking lunch.
Amen.
It should not be so, brothers. It should not be so. And I come back from Hear the Watchman down in Dallas, and I've got all these names and all these emails from these guys that Flip called forward. Listen, brothers, I'm just going to tell them like it is. I'm a coach. I'm a straight shooter. And we organize all these names and all these emails, and we're trying to do a boot camp down in Texas. We're going to wake up men. We're going to do a boot camp this weekend in St. Louis, Missouri. And you know what? Those same men who are listening right now won't even respond to a stinking email. They won't even respond to a stinking email because it might cost them something. And Jesus said, don't you bring me anything that cost you nothing. And we want the gospel of Jesus, and we want the advancement of the gospel on the cheap. We want to fight a war with no casualties. We want to fight a video war. We want to be able to sit in front of our computers and type emails to Hagman and Hagman, and type emails to David Langford, and type emails all of, and never get our stinking hind ends out of our chair. I'm telling you, listen to me. You hear me good. The Lord is calling godly men out of their comfort zone. I learned it from Flip. When I got sued by the ACLU in 1999 and I went through that battle with them, it hardened me. But it didn't really strengthen me the way that I needed to be. And I thought I was something when I was nothing. I began to hang around Flip and Operation Save America and some of the great things that they were doing and some of the great battles they were fighting. And I went around and followed Flip, and I followed Rusty Thomas, and I followed some of those guys, and I found this out, man. Courage is contagious. And I found that when I hung around Flip and I saw him stare down the sodomites and I saw him stare down the police, when I saw him uncompromising, something grew deep inside me. And I stand where I am today because of the courageous example Reverend Flip Benham set for me. I'm 63 years old. I'm not some spring chicken. Flip's a few years older than me, but he was a mentor to me in times when he didn't even know he was. Now, Doug and Joe and Pastor David and Pastor Billy and I'm the only and Pastor Flip. I'm not a pastor. I'm a coach, man. I never had to worry about building a church and pleasing people and wiping noses. I've never had to do that. I've always been a tell it like it is kind of guy. Always have been. And I'm here to tell you right now that if godly men will take the opportunity that we are trying to present to them now, where we will come to them and train them to go out on the street and contend for the faith, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. If they will just come and be trained and help us to draw them out of their comfort zone and to let them go out and stare down the enemy and feel that spirit of Christ that rises up inside of you when that spirit hits you, that is addicting. It's addicting. And I'm the Christian that I am today, not because I go to church. I'm for going to church. I got a great pastor, Pastor Bill Dunphy in Warsaw. I got a great pastor, a great man of God who leads his sheep out. But I'm the man of God I am today because I had examples like Flip Benham of guys who, when I went to the streets, showed me what real, biblical, Christian manhood was all about. Doug and Joe, I'm offering that right now. We started the Salt and Light Brigade to try to help men go out there. Can I tell you something? Listen, they're big, stinking talkers. They're just big talkers. Flip tells that story about that Lion King when little Simba looks in the face of his daddy and his daddy says to him that you are so much more than you have become. And I look at Christian men and the state that we're in and the war is raging and the devil's kids are running rampant and they're raising their hell. They're doing everything. They're spitting at the cross. They're spitting at Christ. You know, I quoted the other day, I came across this quote. It just broke me down. It broke me down. Pastor Richard Wurmbrand, when he was in the struggle, like all of us, he didn't want to go to the battle because he knew that every time you step outside and every time you go, it is risking it all. His wife said to him, get out of this house. Are you listening to me, folks? Are you listening to me all across this America? Pastor Richard Wurmbrand's wife said to him, you get out of this house and you go wipe the shame off of your Savior's face. Gotta break it down, boys. Gotta break it down. You see, we wanna love the Lord. We just don't want to sacrifice or die for Him. And I believe that's what the Lord's calling us to do.
Pastor Langford, I'm gonna turn it over to you. You talk a lot about the conformity, the conforming of the church to the world, and this apostasy that we see, this lack of obedience. Can you expand on that?
Well, as I said earlier, it's a grave tragedy in that political correctness has pervaded the church. And, you know, I don't mind calling names. I get called names, so I call names, but you know, just like Joy Osteen went to the Houston lesbian mayor's wedding. So instead of rebuking or reproving, he endorsed what she did, and yet tens of thousands of people will listen to that guy's preaching and laud him and extol him as though he is some great man of God. He's not a man of God. The Bible says in Matthew 11 and 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, it's gotten by force. It's not gotten by saying, would you please give it to me? You have to stand up and fight. That's why Paul gave the exegesis in Ephesians 6 about putting on the whole armor of God. The Sodomites, if you go back to Genesis 19 and begin at verse 9, and they said, stand back, and they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, talking about Lot. He will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee, Lot, than with them, the two angels. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men, or the angels, put forth their hand, pulled Lot into the house to them, shut to the door, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they wearied themselves to find the door. You know, I would like to think if I was smitten with blindness, there would be an element of humility, contrition, fear, trepidation of what just happened in my life. These people, Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And so the Christian, these people aren't Christian. Christians bear a cross. Matthew 15:8-9. This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, a preacher like myself is not welcome in the nominal church anymore. You know, 22 years ago, when I first began to oppose the Church of God, it became a perpetual battle and struggle. God is done. God is through with denominations. They're toast, they're fried, they're burnt, they're wasted, and these mega churches. they're nothing but more than but sheer country clubs where it's entertainment, it's about lights, it's about music. It's never about repentance. It's never about getting filled and full of the Spirit of God and taking it out into the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But you can't tell a dime's difference today in a Christian and a sinner. I mean, there's no difference. The church looks like the world, and the world looks like the church. And men are cowards. They're afraid to preach against anything. They won't say anything about any kind of sin. But that's what needs to be preached, and that's what brings conviction, and conviction stirs us to do something about what's taking place. In the book of Mark, chapter 5, it says that Jesus looked on them with anger. He could read, he could discern their hearts. They were doubting who he was, what he was, but it says clearly he looked on them with anger because they didn't believe he was who he said he was. And he looked at them with anger because of the hardness and the blindness. That's what the word hardness means, the blindness of their hearts. I said Mark 5, it's Mark 3. But he saw that. Sin makes us callous. Sin makes us hard-hearted. Sin makes us impotent. Sin makes us evil. That's why it's called the tree of good and of evil, not the tree of good and of sin. It's the tree of good and of evil, because evil is the result of sin. And, you know, as a pastor, I hear it all the time, where can I find me a good church? I know it's grave. It's difficult to find a good church. But Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's how revival starts. When two or three people get together and start praying and say, let's go out as a team and witness and do something for Jesus, it will begin to grow. It will begin to grow. And that's what needs to take place. And, you know, I'm concerned. I'm concerned of the condition of the church. Anybody that has half a brain and one eye can spiritually discern we're in grave trouble, and the leadership, that's the purported leadership of the church, is not leading us, but rather they're leading us off a path of destruction, a path of death, a path of chaos. They're not leading men to repentance. You never hear preachers preach on repentance, lay down your sins and pick up your cross. And so this is why temporarily I believe God is raising up these radio programs like Joe and Doug to fill the void, the vacuity, till we can grow like Flip and Coach and go out. You know, I'm a preacher. Everybody has their gift. I don't claim to be nothing but a preacher. That's what God called me to do. Paul said, wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I am a preacher. My job is to preach the word uncompromisingly. We are a body. We are a church, as Flip well said a while ago. Flip, there's a scripture in Acts 7:38 which says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. Israel was supposed to have been the church to get the job done, but they backslid, they turned their hearts against God, and they failed. And so now the church, which is the body of Jesus Christ, is now supposed to pick up the torch, wield the sword of the Lord, wave the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ, and yes, you're going to suffer. Galatians 6:17, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are battle scars. There are going to be wounds. There are going to be injuries. Why? Because you've gotten into the battle. And so people, they want to say, I'm a Christian, but they don't want any kind of a confrontation. See, they've got this idea that we're supposed to be passive. We're supposed to just be slapped around, kicked around. No. No, Paul said, I fought a good fight. This is a good fight. It's worth fighting for. And you just can't lay by the wayside and say, you know, 'twill be what will be. No. You've got to make a difference. You've got to get salty again. You've got to let the light of the Holy Spirit burn bright in your heart again. You got to get on fire for God. Every time there's a fire, and the fire trucks pull out. People that are on the highway follow the fire trucks to go see where the fire is, because they're going to come, they're going to go and watch it burn. Well, the church is not on fire, so nobody cares about coming out and watching it burn. But if the church would get on fire, and it's up to the individual. The Holy Ghost is communicable. It's transferable. Jesus told Peter in Luke 22:31, he said, Simon Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. It's our job to strengthen you, to encourage you, that you will go out and you will fight the good fight of faith. And, you know, regretfully, so many men, I hate to say it, but they're not men. They're wimps. They don't pray. They don't pray with their wives. They don't pray with their family. They don't pray with their children. They're like cowards. You know, like being a Christian is a weakling. It's like you're incompetent. No, anybody can be a drunk. Anybody can smoke weed. Anybody can live in sin. It takes somebody that has the touch of God to say, I'm going to make a difference. And I'd say all the time to people, how many people have you ever led to the Lord? Men are afraid to even witness to somebody on the street. I've witnessed in parking lots, car lots, mobile home lots, grocery stores, prayed in hotels, lobbies, prayed on airplanes. I'm not ashamed to pray anywhere. And until the church gets on fire, you're going to continue to witness the demise of what we see as the church. And I appreciate what Flip and Coach Dave do. This is what's got to be done. And as he well said, you know, boycotting is good. Stand up. But we've got to do more than boycott. You see, I wish to God everybody would stop going to the NBA basketball games. All these so-called Christian men. Well, now, because of HB2, the NBA says, well, we're not coming to Charlotte next year. PayPal was going to bring 400 jobs to Charlotte. Now we're not going to bring the jobs. We've got to fight back just like they're fighting us. They were going to knock the doors down of Lot's house. They're militant. They're fighting us. And we've got to learn to pick up our sword and fight. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to interject this. What would happen to Target if, let's say, they took the other side instead of implementing a transgender policy? What if they implemented a policy to keep things the same? How long would their doors be open from the oppression of the government and the media? I mean, would they sit back? Would the government sit back? Would the media sit back and let them do that?
Well, no. The sad thing is, you know, common sense tells me sodomites are running Target. Corporate is full of sodomites.
Pastor David, so, if I could jump in here real quick.
Go ahead.
I heard where the governor, I believe it was of North Carolina, although I could be wrong, he said that the sodomite, he didn't call them that, he said that the gay agenda, those people are more powerful than the NRA. That ought to tell us something.
They're controlling Hollywood. What's her name? Roberts on Good Morning America. Listen, the whole shooting caboodle is full of sodomites. I mean, look what happened to Joan Rivers when she said we got a trainee in the White House and the first homosexual. 2 weeks, she's dead. It has engulfed this scenario. People want to talk about Noah's Day and giants. You better start talking about Lot's Day. See, this is the destruction of humanity. They tried to corrupt the seed of man, so God brought about the Noahian flood. But the difference is, you have the same end results through sodomy, because they cannot procreate, so they have to recruit. And so that's why they're saying go into the bathrooms and start doing this. Any church that would now let the Boy Scouts use their facilities and embrace sodomy. That church is an apostate church. See? But nobody's willing to say that because that's too crude, that's too hard. But any pastor that would subject his church facilities to a group of sodomites, he's already reprobate. See, that's the problem. When you become a reprobate, that's because you did not like to retain God in your knowledge or in your thinking. Psalms 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. These people do not think godly in any capacity. Their mind is not on God. Their mind is on their debauchery. Their mind is on their debasedness and their sin and their filth and their immorality. That's all they think about. I mean, Gene Antonio wrote a book entitled The AIDS Cover-Up. And one of the most bizarre books I've ever read. I didn't know how filthy and vile homosexuals were till I read this. I mean, folks, they call it fudge sports, where they smear defecation on each other, or the golden showers, where they urinate on each other. These people are filthy. I mean, they're filthy as sin can be. And yet God made me this way. No, sin makes these people what they are. Sin makes you a drunkard. Sin makes you a liar. Sin makes you an adulterer. It is sin. And nobody wants to preach against it or say anything about it, so it's gotten totally out of control. And we're in the crisis we're in. And you know, if we don't soon wake up and turn, I just felt in my spirit today, there's something bad lurking. There is something that is unbelievable. If you think 9/11 was tragic, or Fukushima, that tsunami, or the financial debacle in 2008, if you think that was bad, you haven't seen anything yet. All God, Isaiah 63:10 says, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, therefore was he turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. When God starts making war, you don't have a prayer. When God says, I'm going to arise and the enemies are going to be scattered, we're going to be scattered like chaff in the wind and cry and plead and beg for mercy. But it'll be too late. And I believe God is wanting to give us an opportunity to stand and do what's right. And if we, this is probably our last opportunity. If we don't take a stand, and I mean really stand, I'm not talking about this half-hearted, you know, sign a petition. I mean take a stand. Because brother, that's what they've done to us. It's like I said to two preachers today. Had my parents in 1962, 1963, when they took prayer out of the school, if every so-called Christian mom and dad would have said, okay, we'll not put our children back in school till you reverse it. They couldn't have locked everybody up, but the Christians won't fight back. That's what Coach is trying to tell you. You got to fight back. You can't just sit there. You have to fight back. We have to do something. And regretfully, we're a bunch of cowardice in spirit and in heart. And that's why after Moses died, you know, we have what I call the death of leadership. Moses died, and of course Joshua took his place. And after that, that was the end of it, judges, prophets, etc. But he told Joshua, Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God tells every one of us, be of good courage. When God is on our side, we're supposed to win. When Joshua went out to fight the Amorites, and he lost 36 Israeli soldiers, he came back and he said, God, what's the problem? And God said, you got sin in the camp. Achan has stolen a wedge of gold. And because of that sin of disobedience, it cost 36 men and families their husband or their sons. This is what happens when we let sin get out of control. And the only thing that can control sin is preaching the word, the blood of Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. You take that out, sin is like a malignant cancer. It spreads rapidly, and it knows no boundaries. And that's the problem. We just took a nonchalant disposition. I want to be careful what I say tonight, but I'm telling you, you need to come out of these whorish denominations, these whorish churches, and if it ain't but you and your wife and your children, have church in your home. Invite people over. As Flip shared from Acts chapter 2, they went from house to house breaking bread and continuing in the apostles' doctrine. See, the epistles are the rules for the ball game. The gospel's to every creature. But once you get saved, there are rules and there are guidelines, and we're violating every one of them today. Every one of them are being violated. And, you know, we better have an experience with God, because if we don't, we're going to lose it all. I'll give it back to Joe. I'll give it back to you, Joe, and you can do what you want to.
Hey, Joe, if I could jump in here just real quickly. I'm looking on my computer right now, and this is kind of even a setup for Flip. Raleigh, North Carolina. That's right down where you live there, isn't it, Flip, sir?
Yes, sir. It's our capital.
I'm looking at Life News, Flip. 54 pro-LGBT activists were arrested yesterday in North Carolina.
Yeah,
see, they're
doing
committed
what?
To their, they're committed to their cause. 54 of them would not bow to what they thought was an unrighteous, from their perspective, ruling. Flip, is that kind of commitment in the heart of the average Christian man today?
No. Let me just give you a quote from a guy, and I want you to hear this. You know him. It's Martin Luther King, and he said this: "You may be 38 years old, as I happen to be, and one day some great opportunity stands before you and calls upon you to stand up for some great principle, some great issue, some great cause. And you refuse to do it because you're afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You're afraid that you will lose your job, or you're afraid that you'll be criticized, or that you will lose your popularity, or you're afraid that somebody will stab you or shoot you or bomb your house. So you refuse to take the stand. Well, you may go on and live until you're 90, but you're just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90. And the cessation of breathing in your life is but a belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. You died when you refused to stand up for right. You died when you refused to stand up for truth. You refused to stand up for justice." And that was Martin Luther King, and he preached that at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in downtown Atlanta on November 5th, 1967. And he was assassinated 5 months later on April 4th, 1968. So, you know, some of these things are going to cost us, but it's about time. As I'm just hearing you guys, my heart is stirred. I'm hearing that trumpet sound, and I've just got this last quote, and this is Martin Luther King Jr. too, and this is a letter from a Birmingham jail, Coach. You know what? Most of the New Testament was written from jail. So
that's
listen,
right.
This shouldn't be unusual. Why would a man go to jail? Listen to what Martin Luther King says in his letter from a Birmingham jail. This was written on April 16th, 1963. He said this: "There was a time when the church was very powerful. In the time when the early Christians rejoiced at being deemed worthy to suffer for what they believed. In those days, the church was not merely a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion. It was a thermostat that transformed the mores of society. Whenever the early Christians entered a town, the people in power became disturbed and immediately sought to convict the Christians for being disturbers of the peace, and became disturbed and immediately sought to convict the Christians for being disturbers of the peace and outside agitators. But the Christians pressed on in the conviction that they were a colony of heaven called to obey God rather than man. Small in number, they were big in commitment. They were too God-intoxicated to be astronomically intimidated. By their effort and example, they brought an end to such ancient evils as infanticide and gladiatorial contests. Things are different now. So often the contemporary church is a weak and ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. So often it is an arch defender of the status quo. Far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structure of the average community is consoled by the church's silent and often even vocal sanction of things as they are. We are so far from this fire-breathing, gospel-proclaiming power that God has for us. We have shrunk back, and it's time, whether with many or with few, our God is able to save. And gentlemen, he does it through his church.
I want to share one verse, and I'm not going to say anything else, but I want to share, and I've quoted this hundreds of times, but tonight it's very apropos, Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the problem. Paul said, I count not my life dear unto myself. The problem with most church people, they count their life so dear to themselves that they won't do anything. So Paul, that's why he's writing this, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy. You know, the natural man does not want to die. But Paul said, I die daily. So if you're already dead, even Jesus said, you know, after they kill you, what's left that they can do to you? So don't fear them, but you fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. So the fear, the reverence has got to be toward God and not men or jail or whatever. I know it's bad. We did a recording just 2 weeks ago at Jim Baker, and I made a statement. He said, brother, I'll kill you for that. I said, that's all right. I don't count my life dear to myself. You see, that's the problem. We count our lives so dear to ourselves. Paul said in Philippians 1:20-21, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I'm done.
Very well said, Pastor Langford.
Let me throw this out there, because I know you have to throw it to Flip to talk about getting men in the Bible. I'm just looking up here at the Hebrews, book of Hebrews 10:25. Scripture says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Guys, listen, assembling doesn't mean just gathering together. One of the worst words I can ever remember when I had young kids was when I'd get a new present, and it said, some assembly required. We're putting the parts together. Hagman and Hagman is assembling the body even more as we see the day approaching. It's not just gathering together and breaking chicken bones. It's putting the body of Christ together in a functioning, moving, powerful body to advance the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Flip, I know you want to talk about the Bible reading schedule.
And by the way, no one gave us the instruction manual, or if they did, it's all in Japanese or French.
Amen. Whoever wrote those manuals never put it together, I can promise you that.
All right, well, we have we want to draw attention to BenhamBrothers.com. Flip, I'm going to let you talk about this. Then, if you want to kick it back to me, I'll jump in with what American Survival Wholesale has offered to do.
Sure, and it's a great thing that they've offered to do, but we have a Bible reading schedule for every one of you. One of the things that the church and the early church did is it devoted itself to the fellowship and the breaking of bread was to the doctrine of the apostles. And we have that doctrine in the 66 books of the Bible, and we have a Bible reading schedule that we're going to get into your hands. If you need a hard copy, we're going to get that into your hands. And if you would like to just look it up on the website, you can go to BenhamBrothers.com, BenhamBrothers.com, and you can pick up this Bible reading schedule and also a Bible app. And that Bible app is a Bible study that I do with the boys, and they're the ones, my sons, that lead this Bible study. But we've been reading through this Bible reading plan now since 1984 together. That means that wherever I am, I'm reading, you know, when I'm reading Ruth, they're reading Ruth. And what it does is it keeps us together. And so when they're asking me questions about what we're reading, I'm reading the same thing that they are. And it generates so much conversation, and we have so much to talk about, and it's all about the Bible. And you read through the entire Bible in 1 year. And listen, you need some structure. If you're going to try and get through the Bible on your own, you're not going to make it. You'll be like me. You know, I read a lot of books about the Bible, but I never read the Bible. And so I got to the point where I felt like, God, I've got to get in your word, but I need some help. I need some structure. And this Bible reading schedule that we've been using now since 1984 is going to be placed in your hands. And on the back of this Bible reading schedule, I have the seven biblical characteristics of David's fighting men to be passed on to our children. Gentlemen, if you want to involve your kids in godly ministries, you need to be involved in them yourself, in godly endeavors, in great adventures, in great opportunities to walk out. And it may be dangerous, for sure. But you're never safer than when you're walking in God's will than you would be, you know, hiding at home or in a castle or in the woods somewhere high up in a mountain waiting for the world to come to an end. You need to be in the battle. We were born again for a battle, for a fight. Men were born to fight, and that's what we do. With this, you're going to hear a clear trumpet sound, and you're going to find God enabling you to be in that Bible every single day. Give us this day our daily bread, and God wants to give that to you, and we want to place it in your hand, and the Hagmans have been kind enough, and John Robertson is the one that thought about this, that we will place this in your hands. We will get it to you in any way that we possibly can, and will all of us be on the same Bible reading schedule, the same plan, and we'll get through the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we'll be done with it in a year. And this is yours without any charge to you, and just our great pleasure to get it into your hands to help you to do and to discipline yourself to do that which God desires you to do. And you will be greatly blessed, and you will become a blessing and a true light, and you'll become like the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. So thanks, Doug and Joe, for doing this. Thank John Robertson. Thank you, Coach. Thank you, Dave Pastoral Langford, and thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done to give us the opportunity to proclaim your word this evening.
Amen. Amen. And before we let you guys go, I want to make this quick announcement. For anybody out there who might not have access to a computer or the ability to use the computer or electronics to do the Bible program, American Survival Wholesale is teaming up with this initiative, with the BenhamBrothers.com initiative, to provide hard copies to anybody who needs them. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, and there you can sign up to get a hard copy of the Benham Brothers Bible Study. Thank you, Chance.
Yes, and we want to thank Pastor David Langford, Reverend Flip Benham, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, three great men. And such great examples of Christian men. Thank you so much for being part of this program. We know it was cumbersome. We know it was a little bit wild having so many people on. But thank you for all of your efforts and for your appearance tonight.
Thank you for having me and all of us on there tonight. God bless you all. Have a great evening.
God bless you. Pastor David Langford.
God bless you, Doug. Hey, Doug, by the way,
yes.
I
yes.
love the book.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you.
Coach, God
bless
you.
Both. Thank you,
guys. You keep up the good work. God bless you, too, Flip. Can't wait to have you back on the show. And thank you for your passion and your hard work being on the front lines as well. All three of you gentlemen are much needed in today's church age that seems to be conforming to the world. We need strong men in the pulpit who are not afraid to stick to what Jesus said without any hesitation or fear of repercussion. So God bless each and every one of you.
And we want to say thank you so much to Todd from Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so much, Todd, for your
your the tip's going to come out of my dad's side of the
That's right. God bless you all.
Tomorrow night, open lines, which we usually do on Wednesdays, but we'll be doing it tomorrow. Have a good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.
The Genesis Communications Network.